This week is Parshas Chayisara. We're still in the month of Ma'an Cheshvan, many years. This is Shabbos Mevarchim. This year it is not. Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev is next week. Parshas Toldos. This Parsha is a continuation of the previous Parsha. Right after the Akedah, and as a result of what happened, Sarah passes away. Rashi quotes here the Medrash. Nismach Amisa Sarah La'akedas Yitzchak, because as a result of the news that was delivered to Sarah, some say it was the Satan who delivered the news, that her son was almost slaughtered, and before she heard that he was not, she was nifta. Parcha Nishmasa Miman of Amesa. Now, the Nesivus Shalom from the Slonima writes that this was another Nesoyin for Avraham Avinu. It was an Nesoyin to see whether he was going to blame himself for her untimely death, or perceive her death as untimely, and say, well, maybe if I wouldn't have gone to the Akedah, this would not have happened. As the Gemara calls this, a Toyha al Rishonos. One is not supposed to ever be sorry, ever have any remorse for anything good that one did. We're only supposed to be sorry for the negative, not chas v'shalom for anything positive. And he brings down what the Svarim say, v'hoser satan melefaneinu me'achareinu, that there's the satan that tries to get us before we do a mitzvah, and then there's the satan that tries to get us after we do a mitzvah. Whether it means to give a person a feeling of pride, wow, you know how great I am, look what I just did. And he says that Avraham clearly doesn't fall for that, because we read at the end of last week's parasha, Vayoshev Avraham el Na'orav. Avraham returns to his youths, to Eliezer and Yishmael, as if he's one of them. Nothing happened. So Avraham doesn't get to his head, wow, I just performed the greatest act ever. I was by the Akedah. Avraham Avinu returns as if he's one of the boys. Vayoshev Avraham el Na'orav. He doesn't let it get to him. So the Satan tries a different tactic. Sarah passes away, and it almost looks as if Sarah dies because she goes into shock after hearing the besorah that her son was almost slaughtered. And this was a test to see if Avraham is going to perceive it that way. So it says the Nesivus Sholem, Avraham did not perceive it that way at all. In fact, that's why in the word Vilav Kaisa there's a small chaf. The Baal HaTurim says, why is there a small chaf in Vilav Kaisa? Because he wasn't crying every minute of the day for the rest of his life. The crying was minimized because she was old. That's what the Baal HaTurim brings down such a medrash. It wasn't that he was crying over someone who died young, or it was not an untimely death, meaning she died when she was supposed to. Hashem was Mesabev, the Siba. The cause of her death was the Besaira of the Akedah, but she was supposed to die now anyway. So Avraham understands that, and Avraham is not affected the way the Satan wants that Avraham should think that it was an untimely death that was his fault, and therefore he would have remorse for going to the Akedah. So therefore the Torah tells us to us with the small chaf and Vilav Kaisa that he did not cry as he would have had this been an untimely death. He cried. She lived a full life. She died when she was supposed to. This is how the Nesivus Shalom understands the story here, the connection to the Akedah and the Kvura of Sarah. The difficulty with this, it's a beautiful explanation, is that the Mishnah tells us that there were only 10 tests. Asara Nisyainis Nisnasa Avraham Avinu V'Amad Bechulam. Although the Nesivus Shalom doesn't actually say this was an Nisayon, but it's clear that the Satan was trying to get him again. We're not finished. We would think after the Akedah, that's it. In fact, the Akedah was Achad Dvarav Shel Satan. The Akedah was after the Satan prosecuting Avraham Avinu, as Rashi brings down, that the Satan tells Hashem that Avraham never sacrificed any karbonos. So Hashem says, if I would tell him to give his own son, he would do it. So one would think, after the Akedah, Avraham is immune to this. There's no more Nesiyonis, there's no more Satan to deal with. And according to the interpretation of the Nesivus Shalom, that's what's happening here too. This is the V'hoser Satan Me'acharenu. So were there 10 tests or were there 11 tests? Because if this is an Nesoyin, then the Mishnah would have said, Achados Nesoyinus Nesnas Avraham Avinu. The Mishnah tells us there were 10, which seems to indicate that this is not a test. The topic right after this is the topic of Shuduchim, the topic of Zivugim, the Shlichus of Eliezer to bring a wife to Yitzchak. What is the connection between the two? Al Pi Pshat, the connection is, now that Sarah is gone, and Avraham is old, and Avraham is alone, so Avraham is now thinking of the future, Avraham is now thinking of a Shidduch for his son. I mean, this is when it happened. It happened after Sarah is gone, especially the way the Zohar, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Rivka is the neshama of Sarah. Sarah returns back. This is the parasha that's called Chayei Sarah, although this is the parasha in which Sarah passes away, because Sarah continues to live. She lives on in Rivka. Vayivieha ha'oihel ha'sarah imai, the pasuk says. Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent of his mother Sarah. Rashi says, Vaharei hi Sarah imai. Literally, it means she's like Sarah. According to the Kabbalah interpretation, she is Sarah. Rivka is Sarah. As soon as Sarah passes away, that's when Rivka is born. Chayei Sarah. So there's definitely a connection between these two topics, but we'll try to explain it a little different. The parasha ends with Yishmael. The parasha ends with the life of Yishmael and the death of Yishmael. Al Pnei Kol Echav Nofel, and as the Baal HaTurim says, which we mentioned many times, and this is the parasha that we read this, so certainly this is the week to concentrate on it, that when Yishmael falls, that's when Yitzchak rises. When Yishmael falls, that's when Mashiach will come. The Baal HaTurim says this on the last pasuk of this week's parasha, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nofel, Kisheyipol Yishmael Ba'acharis Hayomim, Yitzmach ben David, which goes into the next parasha of Eila, told us Yitzchak. Last year, we discussed this at length. Take a different route this time. But although that we are now living in Golus Yishmael and suffering from Golus Yishmael, and this is the time, so certainly this is something to delve in a little, and to tie the end of the parasha to the beginning. The parasha begins with the burial of Sarah. The parasha ends, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nofel, that Yishmael will fall by Acharis Hayomim. This is our time. This is what we're talking about now. This last pasuk of Chayei Sarah is the end of time, right before the Eila told us Yitzchak, right before the revelation of Mashiach. What also requires some clarification, we know that in the Torah there are no redundancies, there's nothing, there are no extra words, there are no extra psukim, yet the Torah seems to be ma'arich here, concerning the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the whole story here of how Avraham Avinu dealt with the Bnei Ches over and over again, with Ephraim, and the whole conversation that's going on in between them. The Malbim has an approach here, other Mefarshim have approaches here to try to understand exactly what is happening here, what is exactly going on. He says, I don't want to take money, and then he does take money, he takes much more money than he originally would have taken, because we know Ephron didn't mean it anyway. Ephron's a Ra'ayin. Ephron, Omar, Habed, Afilu Ma'at Loi Osa, and Avram listens to Ephron, and he gives Ephron the Arba Meis Shekel Kesef Oivel Asaych, and Avayokim Stei Ephron Asheba Machpelah, Avram Lamikna Le'enei V'nei Ches, over and over again. Why does the Pasuk spend so much time on this? It's just said, Avram had to bury Sarah, he bought it from Ephron for Arba Meis Shekel Kesef.
And the world still doesn't recognize it.
As the Medrash says, in fact, yes, the Medrash says, in fact, this is one of the three places that the Goyim can never say that it belongs to them, because the Torah specifically states that Avraham bought it, and Yaakov bought Shechem, and David bought the Makom HaMikdash from Arav Nahayavusi, and yet these are the three places where there's the biggest, the greatest Arab presence. Mm-hmm. And perhaps we can tie this all in with the following. We know that there were 10 utterances that the world was created with. As this Mishnah in the same parak that talks about the Asar and the Sionis Nisnasa Avraham Avinu, the Mishnah there begins, Ba'asara ma'amaras nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 utterances. What were those 10 utterances? There's the Shita in the Gemara, and there's the Shita in the Zohar. There's the Shita of Nigla, and there's the Shita of Nister. There's the Chitzainis, and there's the Pnimius. The Gemara sees it. The Gemara is the revealed part of Torah. The Zohar is the concealed part of Torah. The Gemara says that there are 10 utterances beginning with Bereshis. So Bereshis is also an utterance, because the Gemara asks that there are only 9. From Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or till Sheni, till the end of the Bria, where the last Amira is Vayomer Elokim Hineinu Sati Lechem Eskol Esav Hasodeh, there are only 9 Vayomers. So the Gemara answers, Bereshis Nami Ma'amar Hu. Bereshis is also an utterance. So according to the Gemara, the 10 utterances begin from Bereshis. till Vayomer Hineinu Santi Lachem is called Esav. The Zohar says no. The Zohar says the first Maimer is not Bereshis. The first Maimer is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, let there be light. And the tenth utterance is after Sheni. The tenth utterance is Vayomer Hashem Elokim Loi Toiv Heyois HaAdam Levadoi. It's not good for man to be alone. E'eseloi Ezer Kenegdoi, which is the zivug, the soulmate of a person. I will make him a helper who will either be with him or against him, as Rashi says. Zocha naasis le'ezer, le'zocha naasa kenegdoi. According to the Zohar, Bereshis is not included in the Asara Ma'amorois, or Bereshis is the 11th Maimer. It's higher than a Maimer. Bereshis is actually, as the Mishnah says, V'halei b'maimer echad yochalu hibaris. The world could have been created actually in one utterance. Why did Hashem have to do it in 10? And the Mishnah answers what it says. The par amin harishroim v'litain tzachar tov l'tzadikim. The fact that the Mishnah says V'halei b'maimer echad yochalu hibaris, many say V'halei there is not a question, but it's a statement. That b'maimer echad it was created. Like it was created really with Bereshis.
Like the Makkos also.
Right, wait.
Yeah.
Meaning Bereshis, the world was created, the potential for the entire world, all that Hashem needed to create the world was created with one word, and then later it was all separated into separate ma'amorois. But according to the Zohar, if we look at it, then there are really 11. It's just that Bereshis is before the ma'amorois. Bereshis comes first. There are, as we know, 10 makos. There are also aseres hadibros. But if we really take a look at the 10 Makos, there are really 11. Because the last that we know is Makos Bechairis, but there's one more, this Kriyas Yamsuf. And we know that Kriyas Yamsuf is considered a Maka, and perhaps it encompasses all the Makos, because the Pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael is Hayod HaGadoyla Asher Asa Hashem in Mitzrayim. And we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Menayin, how do we know that whatever there was in Mitzrayim, there was five times as much by the Yamsuf, and the three opinions, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Ezra, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, because every Mak is an Etzpan. By the Yamsuf, it says Yad. What does the Yamsuf have to do with the 10 Makas? Obviously, the Yamsuf is also considered a Makas. That's the finale of all the 10 Makas. That's when the Egyptians are drowned. So in reality, there are 11. There are the Esa Makas, Shehevi HaKodesh Baruch Hu, HaMitzrim B'Mitzrayim, and even Mishnah says, V'Eser Al Hayam, but really they're all included in one by the Yamsuf, and that's sort of the 11th Makkah. By the Aseres HaDibros, we're used to always the idea that there are 10 commandments, or Dibros are 10 utterances. According to the Ramban, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah. According to the Ramban, Anoichi comes before mitzvah, so then there aren't really 10, there are really 11. It starts with Lo Yihyeh Elokecha Elohim Acherim. Anoichi, the Ramban says, is not a mitzvah, it comes before mitzvahs. You can't observe mitzvahs if you don't believe in God. First you have to accept Hashem as our God, that's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and then come all the mitzvahs. So Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not considered, according to the Ramban and others, one of the Aseres HaDibros. The Rambam disagrees, other Rishonim say no, like the Rambam, it is one. But according to the Ramban, the Anoichi is above mitzvahs, it's the source of it all, it's like Bereshis that comes before the Asara Ma'amorois, the Yamsuf, the Kriyas Yamsuf that comes after the Esa Makos, and the story here with Avraham Avinu, the Kvura of Sarah, that comes after the Asara Nisyonis. What's the big Nisyon over here? Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas Shemos, Hashem was upset with Moshe Rabbeinu for questioning him. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Lama hare oisa la'am hazeh? Why did you do bad to this nation?" So Rashi says, "You will not see what happens to the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. Atosira, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro, but you're not going to see what I'm going to do to the Malchei Canaan. Why? Because hirharta achamidoisa. You're questioning me." You're not like Avraham, who did not question me, by the Akedah. By the Akedah, Avraham could have had a major question. Hashem said, Ki bi Yitzchak ikori l'chazora. Then Hashem says, Kachna es binchas yichid chashu haftas Yitzchak, b'lech l'chel eres hamoy riva ha'aleihu l'oila. Then Hashem says, Al tishlach yoduch el hanar. It's very confusing. And Avraham didn't question me, but you did. So you're not like Avraham. That's how Rashi ends off Parshas Shmos. Wait. We'll get to that one second. Question after, right?
Yeah.
The next time Rashi brings this again in Parshas Va'era, which is a whole discussion by itself, where Rashi quotes this later with a different twist, and there he says, "V'gama kimaisi es brisi itam lo seis lam es eretz kanan," and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You asked me questions, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not." What does Rashi say there in Va'era? There he does not mention the Akedah. There he mentions the burial of Sarah. That even though I promised him Eretz Yisrael, he had to pay a huge sum of money. Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. Obviously, we don't know exactly what that is, but it seems like it was probably what we would call today millions and millions of dollars. It's like an exorbitant amount that makes no sense to pay for a grave, or even for a few graves. Otherwise, why are Chazal so impressed that Avraham Avinu gave this amount of money? This amount of money was a major, major amount of money. Especially after Ephraim said first, "You don't have to give me anything. All right, you want to pay me? I'll just give me $10 billion. Now, going from nothing to $10 billion makes no sense. Now, certainly Avraham Avinu should start questioning here and saying, so what's going on here? Hashem promised me Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Avraham Avinu himself said, "Ger v'toshav anoichi imachem." And Rashi says, if you're going to give it to me, I'll be a ger. I'll be a nice boy. If not, I'm a citizen here, this is really mine, I'll take it, I'll pidin. Hashem told me this. But Avram doesn't do that. Avram was willing to do that just in case they wouldn't have let him buy it. As soon as they allow him to buy it, he's willing to pay whatever he has to buy the Maris HaMachpelah. Certainly, it's a question, if he was promised the land belongs to him, this is his land. L'zarach ha'nasati, in Parshas Lech Lecha, nasati loshon ovar. The land belongs to Avraham. Why should he have to pay so much money to bury his wife? Avraham doesn't ask any questions. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Chaval al the avdin v'loy mishtakchen. I missed the avos lo hirheru achamidoisai. They didn't even ask any questions. You're asking questions. They never did. Avraham didn't hear. Yitzchak didn't when they contested the ownership of Yitzchak to the wells that he dug. And Yaakov, after he had to also spend a huge sum of money to buy Shechem, b'meyoksita, none of them asked questions, and you did. Not going into that right now, we see clearly here that there are two times that Avraham is being praised for not thinking, for not questioning. Once by the Akedah, and here in this parasha by the Kvura, but there's a big difference. And obviously Avraham's on a higher level here, because this is after the Akedah. And although, yes, it's true, Avraham did not question Hashem when he told him to go to Shecht Yitzchak. Says clearly, he didn't question Hashem when he went to do it. He did question, though, when it was over. Rashi tells us, right after Hashem tells him, "Do not shecht Yitzchak," that's when Avraham sort of busts and he says, "Okay, now I just got to tell you. Afarish lefanecha esichasi. Yesterday you told me ki be Yitzchak yikar lechazora. Today you tell me kach nes bincha. Now you tell me don't. What's happening here?" So there is a question. He didn't. So if that's the truth, so why is Hashem praising Avraham for not questioning? Because he didn't question when he was told to do it. When he was told to do it, he asked no questions. He blocked his mind out and just went and did it. But when it was over, he had questions, which any normal person would. Right, yeah. The Nisayon is over now, so he could question now. The Nisayon is over. Even after he has a question, Rashi says, when he was returning from Haram Meriah, Haya Avraham Maharher. And he was thinking, what would have happened if I would have slaughtered my son? Could you imagine? I would have left this world with no grandchildren. How could I not have married him off? And as others far him say, he blamed himself that perhaps if he would have married him off and he would have had a grandchild, then Hashem would have allowed me to shecht him, because then there would have been a future. The fact that there's no future, so of course Hashem couldn't let me do it. So he blamed himself for not marrying him off. So Hashem tells him, don't blame yourself. You couldn't have married him off. Right now, his Ben Zug was born, his Bas Zug was born. So, of course, who are we to even talk about any hirher or any thoughts that Avraham Avinu had? We're only going to fathom and understand the greatness of Avraham Avinu and his passing, as the Mishnah says, Omad b'chul, he passed every test with flying colors. So, of course, he passed the test, and he didn't think in any question, he went and he did it. But he was Maharher afterwards. Not here, though. By this story, and that's what makes this even greater than the Akedah in a certain way. Here, Avraham Avinu doesn't even ask questions afterwards. He doesn't think when it's happening. He doesn't think after. He never gave it a thought. Emuna pshuta. Avraham Avinu has simplistic faith. as the Svarim say, Amuna Pshuta, without any Chakiras. No questions whatsoever. Avram could have had this right after he would have bought the Aras HaMach Pele. He could have asked Hashem. So what's Pshat, the Zaracha, Etan, and Aras HaZais? No questions. No Hirhurim. And that's why, in fact, even in the order, the way Rashi tells it to us in Shemois, at the end of Shemois, he mentions first that Avram didn't think by the Akedah. But there's a higher Madrega. That's why it said later that he didn't think by the Kvura of Sar. The higher Madrega is he didn't think at all. By the Akedah, he thought afterwards. So this is a higher level. This is the level that comes after the Asar and the Sionis. After the Asar and the Sionis, Avram Avinu now is connected to the 11th Maimer. He's connected to Bereshis. Avram Avinu now is connected to the highest level, which is the level of Olam Haba in this world. Right afterwards, the pasuk says, "VaHashem beirachas Avraham ba'koil." VaAvraham zaka in Baba Yomim. VaHashem beirachas Avraham ba'koil. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, three people got a taste of the next world in this world: Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shenemar ba'koil mikol kol. We say in benching, ba'koil mikol kol. Koil is Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba. Shloisha hit iman hakodesh baruch hu me'ein olam haba ba'olam hazeh. Avram gets a taste of olam haba. Avram's in olam haba now. After the arcade, Avram's in a different world. Avram has such a high level now, he doesn't ask any questions, he doesn't think. Total amunah, amunah, which is the shar hanun, the highest level humanly possible to attain. There are no questions. Does it make any sense? He's spending millions of dollars for a grave. Okay, no questions. He just does it. And that's the way to get Eretz Yisrael. That's the way. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was scolded for having some sort of hero. That he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. Avram, no questions. So Avram is the first to enter Eretz Yisrael. Avram now receives the Ma'aras HaMachpela, which the Ma'aras HaMachpela, as it says in Yalkut Ruveni, B'Shem HaZoyar and other Svarim, is the Pesach of Gan Eden. Here's where one enters to go to Gan Eden. That's why Avram wanted to be buried there. It says Avram knew that this is the Pesach of Gan Eden. V'al ha-Bokor ratz Avram. Bokor is Oisius Kever. Avram ran after the ox when the Malachim came. It says the ox ran into the Kever. He saw Adam and Chava lying there. He realized this is the Pesach to Gan Eden. And that's where Avram wanted to be buried. Not only is this the Pesach of Gan Eden, but Ma'aras HaMachpelah says is the Pesach of all the Tefillos of Klal Yisrael. All the Tefillos of Klal Yisrael go first there and then to Yerushalayim. Chevron is connected to Yerushalayim. Ma'aras HaMachpelah is the Pesach of Gan Eden, and from there it's also the Pesach to Yerushalayim. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem. Gan Eden, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, was created before the world was created. The Gan Eden HaElyon, even the Gan Eden HaTachta, and the Gan Eden in this world, which is part of this world, but it's connected to the Gan Eden HaElyon. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem, Kedem, before everything. Kedem, like it says, Vayikim Malki Mikedem. On the word Bereshis, Targum translates, Mila Kadmin, Kodma, Kodma La'olam. That's where Avram Avinu was holding now. Avram now has reached the level of Bereshis, which Bereshis is the 11th Maimer, according to the Zohar. Because there are really 11 Ma'amorais, because we start from Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Bereshis is, as the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, it's Keser, it's the highest level, where all Zivugim are rooted, all Shiduchim, all the unions of Ish Ve'isha, the true Zivugim, the Emesis Zivug that a person has, which is announced 40 days before he is born, as the Gemara says, are rooted in Gan Eden. Because where was the first shidduch ever made? In Gan Eden. Adam and Chava are married in Gan Eden. Vayivieha el ha-Adam. The first Jewish zivig ever, the first Jewish marriage, is Yitzchak and Rivka, which is in our parasha, which comes right after this, where it also says, Vayivieha ha-Oyhela, Vayivieha. The Baal Turah makes note that it says Vayivieha over here, and it says Vayivieha in Bereshis when Adam and Chava are married, when Chava is taken from the body of Adam, Vayivieha Hashem Elokim Hatzelim in HaAdam LeIsha, Vayivieha El HaAdam. Here, Vayivieha Yitzchak HaOyel HaSara Imai. The Pasha of Shaduchim belongs here. Kicha Kicha Mizdei Ephraim. The Gemara learns out Kedushin, Kedushay Kesef, from Zdei Ephraim. The Pasha of Kedushin, which is the next topic here, right after the Kvura of Sara, is the topic of Shidduchim. This is the Pasha of Zivugim, the Pasha of Shidduchim, the first Shidduch in history, where the Torah is Marich, Yofesi Chosin Shal Abdei Oves Mitarosin Shal Bonim. In this historical shlichus of Eliezer, who is sent to bring Yitzchak and Rivka together, and Yitzchak and Rivka are buried in the Ma'ariv Samach Pele, together with Adam and Chava, who Adam and Chava are married in Gan Eden. That's where the first zivug takes place. What do we say by every Sheva Brachas? Sameach tesamach reim ha'huvim, kisameichacha yetziricha began Eden mikedem. Every shidduch is rooted in Kedem. Every shidduch is rooted in Gan Eden, which is the highest level, Kedem. Whereas other Sfarim refer to it as the Yovel. The Yovel, which is the 50th year, corresponding to the Shar Hanun, that's when that which is lost returns. Everything that's dispersed and scattered returns. The Yovel is when all fields return to their original owners. The whole idea of Yovel, marriage is Yovel, because when one marries, he's reunited with the part of his neshama that he was one with in Shamayim before he came to the world. That's the Simcha V'chasana, Simchas Chasana V'kala, Ish V'isha, who were originally one unit, one neshama, separated and then reunited by V'chasana. Avraham Avinu reaches this amazing level after the Akedah, here by the story of the Kvura of Sarah, where he is zoichet to buy the Ma'ariv Samach Pele, which is the Pesach to Gan Eden, through total amunah. No questions asked, even though he pays Arba, Meoiz Shekel Kesef, Kiryas Arba. This is called Kiryas Arba. It's connected to Gan Eden, which in Gan Eden we know there were four rivers, the Arba Nahorois, the Pasuk says. Gichain, Pishain, Chidekel, and Pros. Kiryas Arba, mentioned for the first time here in this parasha, where Rashi tells us that the four giants lived here, Achim and Sheshai Talmai, and their father Arba. And also, this is where the four zugos, the four couples, Machpelah comes from the word couple, the four couples, Adam, Chava, Avraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, and Leah are buried. Where all zivugim, all shidduchim are rooted, because this is the Pesach of Gan Eden, where the first zivug takes place. The next topic, which is the topic in this parasha, right after we learn about the Kvura of Sarah, and Avraham Avinu buys the Ma'ariv Samach Pele, is about the Shlichus of Eliezer. Eliezer was a black. Eliezer was a Cushi. Eliezer was a Kana'ani. Eliezer was an Orur, which is one of the reasons why he could not marry into the family of Yitzchak. He had a daughter, as Rashi tells us, Eilike Siv, Bas Hoylele Eliezer. And he was hoping that perhaps Avraham would say, let's make a Shidduch. But Avraham told him, listen, I'd love to, but the ni baruch va'ata oru ve'ein oru medabek v'baruch. Why should the shatchan of such a shidduch be an oru? Why does Avraham choose? Eliezer is a great person, there's no question about it. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us he was in the neshama of Kaliv ben Yefuna, other great tzaddikim. Eliezer eved Avraham hamoishel b'chol asheloi. The Gemara says shemoshal b'yitzroi and all the madregas damesik Eliezer doilu mashkim mitaris rabbi la'acherim v'chulu v'chulu. But he's an Orur. He's an Orur. And what's also difficult, when he goes to the top of the parsha here of Shidduch, and we find a phrase, that the Gemara uses this phrase when it talks about a Shidduch. Me Hashem yotza hadavar. In ve'agefen be'in ve'agefen, whenever there's a Shidduch hagun, a zivig, and we believe this is Misheshes Yimei Bereshes, the phrase that the Gemara in Moed Katan uses concerning a Shidduch is Me Hashem yotza hadavar. Does anyone know where that phrase originates from? Who said that first? Lavan HaRosha says, Me Hashem Yotzah HaDover, and that's the phrase that we use for every Shidduch in Klal Yisrael, Me Hashem Yotzah HaDover. Vayan Lavan Ubisuel Vayoimru Me Hashem Yotzah HaDover. And more than that, this pasuk is where you learn that Lavan was a Rosha. Because it says, Vayan Lavan Ubisuel, says Rashi, Rosha Hoya. The Kofatz LaHoshiv Lefnei Av. He was a Rosha because he spoke before his father. His father's there. Why is he talking in front of his father? He's a Rosh. Vayan Lavan Ubisuel. So the very same pasuk that tells us that Lavan is a Rosh, and Lavan is quoted here as Me Hashem Yotza Adav, but this is the phrase that is used concerning Shidduchim. What's happening over here? Why is it that the Shatchan of the first Shidduch Yehudi, the first Jewish Zivug in history, from which all Zivugim are connected and descend from, was an Arur? Yes, he was Yotzim Yiklal Oro Leklal Baruch, Boy Baruch Hashem. It says that Eliezer is no longer considered an Oror after this, but when he was sent, he was an Oror. And Lavan cries out, Me Hashem Yotzah Hadav. And the answer is, Shidduchim come from such a high level. Zivugim are rooted, as the Gemara says in Kriyas Yamsuf, Kosha Zivugam ke Kriyas Yamsuf. What's Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf is the 11th Makkah. As we mentioned, there are 10 Makkahs, and then comes Kriyas Yamsuf. By Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Ma Titzak Eloi. Don't even cry, don't even daven. Dabar El B'nai Yisrael V'Yiso. Travel. Hashem Yilochem Lochem Va'atem Tacharishon. Quiet. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Just go. Emuna. By Aminu B'Hashem B'V'Moshe Avdoi. As the Zohar says, Ba'atika Talya Milsa. Zivugim alai Kriyas Yamsuf. The level that Klal Yisrael reached by Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the highest level, corresponding to Bereshis, which is the 11th Maimer, corresponding to Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which is really the 11th of the Aseres HaDibros. That's the level of Zivugim. And when one truly believes that a Shidduch is totally min Hashemayim, does it matter who the Shadchan is? Does it matter who's... The point is, it's rooted in such a high place. Even Lavan says, May Hashem Yotza Hadover. No one contests it. Lavan, the Rishoyim admit, May Hashem Yotza Hadover. If Avraham Avinu is going to look for an expert Shadchan and look for a Tzaddik and look for someone who's so pure, then he's already questioning. There's nothing to question. Just believe. It doesn't matter who the Shadchan is, doesn't matter who says what. And here we see an interesting change, an interesting series of events here. Eliezer is a Kushi. Eliezer is the son of Nimrod, as the Midrashim tell us. V'chush Yolad is Nimrod. Nimrod is the father of Eliezer. So Eliezer is a black. So his chitzainius was black. His pnimius was pure. Lavan was an albino, as the Midrash says. He had white skin. He was the opposite of a black. He's an albino. He's pure white on the outside, but he's rotten to the core on the inside. Lavan is the most deceitful. The most deceitful person that we read about in Chumash. And Lavan says, May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Eliezer Eved Avraham is an Arur. Eliezer Eved Avraham is Yotza Miklal Arur LeKlal Baruch. And who's the one who makes the announcement that Eliezer is no longer an Arur? Lavan. Lavan says, Boy Baruch Hashem. That's what Chazal learned out, that Eliezer is no longer an Arur. It's like amazing. It's Lavan who's saying, May Hashem Yotza Adover. It's Lavan who's saying, Boy Baruch Hashem, in this parasha of Shidduchim, in the parasha of Zivugim. Where Zivugim are rooted, they're rooted in such a high place where it doesn't matter, Ra and Toiv don't play a role. Lavan, Kushi, Rasha, Tzaddik, it doesn't matter. Kachashecha Ke'oira, as the Svarim tells us. In the highest levels, Kachashecha Ke'oira, light and darkness, Mishtamash Berevuvya. Perhaps we can connect this to the time that we're in right now. The time that we're in right now, we've already gone through the 10 tests. We're holding by the 11th. The Holocaust corresponds to the Akedah. There's no question that the Holocaust corresponds to the Akedah. The questions that could have been asked during, after, and are still being asked are the same questions that Avraham had on his way to the Akedah. Now, we're after, it's 60 years since the Akedah. And now, everything surrounds Eretz Yisrael. Now, the questions are with Eretz Yisrael. Just as Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, had many questions that he could have asked concerning Eretz Yisrael, concerning the Maariz HaMachpelah, concerning the fact that he had to spend Arba Meir Shekel Kesef of something which he was promised that is his, and rightfully his, and he doesn't, and he has no Hirhurim, as a Muna Pshuta. That has to be the criteria now, as we get ready to enter into Yemais HaMashiach, has to be total emunah pshuta. We have to learn from Avraham Avinu, and he gives us the strength, the fact that he passed the test, the fact that he was able to go through this without any hirhurim, so can every yid who is a ben Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And that's the way we're going to get Eretz Yisrael, and that's the way Yishmael is going to fall. The connection to Yishmael here is obvious. The last topic in the parash is Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal. Yishmael is going to fall. That's right. Yishmael is going to fall b'acharis hayamim. And Yishmael is going to make things very difficult, as we see today. The answer is at the beginning of the parasha. Avraham Avinu doesn't ask any questions, even though he had to pay Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, even though he has to deal with the B'nai Ches, and deal with Ephraim, and deal with a liar, and a cheat, a Ra'ayin. Ephraim is Begamatria, Ra'ayin, as the Svarim tell us. Ephraim, who says a lot but does nothing. Avraham says very little and does a lot. They're total opposites. And Avraham has to deal with Ephraim. And the Psukim the redundancy here, the reason why the Torah is ma'arich so much in this, is to tell us the tremendous schar of Avraham Avinu. Just as the Pasuk says, kachna as bimcha as yechidcha asher hafta, Rashi says to give more schar to Avraham, to make it more difficult. Or al-achad hehorem asher emar yelecha, doesn't say exactly which mountain it is. Here too, all the psukim are telling us the difficulties that Avraham encountered here. It wasn't just that he went and he bought the Maaseh Machpelah, that's the end of the story. Do you realize what he went through here? Do you realize who he had to deal with? And every time he had to deal with them, he could have a major question. Why do I have to go through all this? Why do I have to speak to the Bnei Ches? Why do I have to talk to Ephraim ben Seichar? Why do I have to pay so much money? Why does all this have to happen when I was promised Eretz Yisrael? And he does everything without asking any questions at all. There are no hirurim here. Emunah pshuta. And when does this happen? When Sarah passes away, when a tzaddik or a tzaddikus passes away, as the Zohar says and the Svarim tell us, everything they did, all their ma'asim, are accumulated. Everything that they did, their entire life. And we know that Sarah's greatest, her greatest accomplishment, her greatest achievement was, and because of her, Goresh ha'oma hazois v'yesbuna. She's the one who orders Avraham to throw Yishmael out of the house. Yishmael is not part of Am Yisrael. If it would have been up to Avraham, Yishmael, Rachman al Islam, could have been part of Am Yisrael. Avraham says, Lu Yishmael yichya lefanecha. Sarah is the one who says, although it's really her fault, if we could say that, because she's the one who told Avraham to marry Hagar. She's the one who brought Yishmael into the world, so I guess she rectified it. And as soon as she saw who Yishmael was, Goresh ha'ama ha'zois v'yespeno im b'niyim Yitzchak. The greatest legacy of Sora, and the parasha is called Chaye Sora, is al p'nei kolech of Nofel, that Yishmael will fall. And the way Yishmael is going to fall is mentioned many times. One of the ways is through emuna pshuta, because there's no way to understand it. The Gemara says Mashiach is going to come behesach hadas, totally unexpected, like the scorpion. As we mentioned last week, the Akrav, which Mar Cheshvan is the Mazel Akrav. Hesach Hadas is beyond understanding. We cannot use our understanding here. It has to be with Emunah. When you start using your Das, then you have questions. Hesach Hadas means you have to remove the intelligence and go to a higher level of Emunah. We don't understand what we're doing, but we do it because we have Emunah Pshut. That's the way we fight Yishmael. The whole Golus Yishmael is Behesach Hadas. It makes no sense. Their whole being is they're trying to prevent us from entering into that level of Olam Haba, which is called Koil. The level that Avraham Avinu reaches over here, after not questioning Hashem, throughout this whole story of Kvura Sarah, the level of Koil is what Yishmael is trying to prevent us from reaching al pnei kolech of nafal, which is the gematria doir acharon. That's our generation, the last generation that has to encounter the difficulties, the birth pangs of Mashiach that we're going through right now as we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And we see already how parts of Eretz Yisrael have already been given to us, and so many roiv minyan of Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, and so much kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. But all the difficulties we have to go through right now in the last moments of Golas, after the Akedah, after the Holocaust, is exactly what happens here with Avraham Avinu as he has to deal with the burial of Sarah and pay Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. The word Arba has in it the letters Ra, Ba. Avraham Avinu removes the evil from Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba, just like Yerushalayim was first under the domain of the Yevusim, Kiryas Arba, Chevron, is under the domain of the Arba Anokim, of the four giants. And Avraham Avinu is referred to in Divrei Hayomim as the Adam HaGodol Ba'anokim. He's the greatest of the giants. Avraham Avinu overpowers the Klipais. As we know, there are four Klipais, as the Zohar tells us, the Sifrei Kabbalah, Gimbal Klipais Atmeyos, and Klipas Noiga. And here you have the four Anokim, Achimon, Sheshai, Vitalmai. But the four Zugais that are buried here, each one of the Zugais that are buried here, removes one of the Anokim. And the Ra in the word Arba is removed. Like we read said last year, the Ra in Akrev. We get rid of the Resh Ayin of Akrev, and we have the Kuf Beis, Bris Kodesh. Here we get rid of the Ra in Arba. We have the letters Beis Aleph, which is Ba. The Avram Zokain Ba Bayomim. Avram comes with all his days. Every single day of Avram Avinu is accounted for. Avram Avinu is Misakein himself completely. Hashem Berech Es Avram Bakoil. He's complete. He reaches the highest level that humanly is possible for any person to attain in this world, especially after going through the 10 Nisyonis and this 11th. And just like by the Akeid, by Kriyas Yamsov, it says, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, V'atem Tacharishon, you should be quiet. Here we find by the Shidduch of Rivka and Yitzchak, it says that Eliezer was so astonished. He couldn't believe that it happened so quickly. So the pasuk says, "V'ha'ish mishto'ei la macharish." He was quiet. What does it mean? He was quiet. You should have said, "V'ha'ish mishto'ei la la das ha'itzliach Hashem darko imlo." Why does the pasuk have to tell us that he was quiet? What's he supposed to say? The Torah is hinting to us that just like by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Atem Tacharishun, there's nothing to say. Total emuna. Here too, V'ha'ish mishto'ei la macharish. This is the parasha of Zivugim. Kosha Zivugim k'Kriyas Yamsuf. Zivugim and Yamsuf are one and the same. Not that anything is difficult for Hashem. The idea is that the Zivugim come from the same level as the Yamsuf. The Yamsuf comes after the Asara Makos. The Parsha of Zivugim comes after the Asara Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu. And after Avraham Avinu goes through this 11th sort of Nisoyan, where he's not Maharar at all, that's when he comes to the Vayita Hashem Elikim Gam De'edan Mikedem, which is one of the reasons he had to pay Arba Meos Shekel Kesef Oyvel Asoicher. Oyvel Asoicher is the Gematria Vayita Hashem Elikim Gam De'edan Mikedem. This is the Pesach of Gan Eden that Avraham Avinu reaches here by the Maris Machpelah, which is where all Shidduchim and Zivugim are rooted. And of course the goal is, all of us are sent here to make a Shidduch. Eliezer is actually a metaphor to the Shlichus of a Jew in this world, where all of us are here to be Meshadech, the Neshama back to its source, to bring, to connect Hashem with Klal Yisrael, which is the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. Vayivyeho Yitzchak ha'oyhel ha'sora imoy. Vayinochem Yitzchak achare imoy. Yitzchak is comforted. Achrei Imo Yitzchak is Hashem. It says Hashem Yitzchak Lomoy. Hashem is comforted when he's reunited with Klal Yisrael. The complete Shidduch, of course, will be when Mashiach will come, and we will be once again reunited with Hashem in Yerushalayim. Ayinochem Yitzchak Achrei Imo is Begematria Yerushalayim. And with this Haftarah, of course, is V'Hamelech David Zokin Baba Yomim Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David, which Malchus Beis David is supposed to be rectified in this month, Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, which is Begematria Malchus Beis David. This is the month in which the Pagam happened, as we mentioned last week, the rebellion against Malchus Beis David. This is the month to rectify that. And when Yishmael falls, that's when Malchus Beis David rises, and the Emes HaShidduch takes place, and we are all reunited with Hashem. May it be speedily, may it be Zoich, of course, to go to the Maris HaMachpelah and be reunited with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya, and see the Pesach of Gan Eden, and connect ourselves to Gan Eden, and be Zoich to Vashem, Beiruchas Avraham, Ba'Koil. Every Yid should reach this level of Koil, and see the Mapala of Yishmael with our own eyes. V'sechazena inenu b'shuvcha l'tziyon b'rachamim. Etol ba'asarim. And she have a speedily refuah shalema immediately. This shir is given refuah shalema for etol ba'asarim. And she have a refuah shalema immediately. V'soich shor chayla Yisrael.